the adrenaline that's shooting off in the electricity, he captures it right there on paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, Al Hirschfeld.
Well, I've drawn ever since I could hold a pencil. Actually, all kids draw. I just never stopped.
Coming to you live from the Al Hirschfeld Foundation studios, this is the Hirschfeld Century Podcast. I'm David Leopold, the creative director of the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
Wow, and I'm Catherine Eastman, the archives manager. I did not realize that my desk was our official studio.
It is now.
Good. It is.
On the air, we've put the dogs in their kennels.
Yep.
We have silenced our phones, and we are here to talk to you about all things Hirschfeld.
Yes.
And today.
Today's topic is Hello Dolly. That was a drum roll.
That was a drum roll.
That was a bad drum roll.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking Carol Channing and Hello Dolly.
Yes, two things that if you know anything about Hirschfeld, you probably have some sense of that.
Right.
His drawing of Carol Channing in this role is one of the signature pieces that when they talk about Hirschfeld, you almost always see this piece.
Definitely.
It's so iconic. It started off pretty innocuously. His first published drawing of 1964 was in the New York Times.
His first published drawing of Hello Dolly.
His first published drawing of Hello Dolly. But his first published drawing of the year, 1964.
Oh, I see.
Was in the Sunday New York Times.
So you were right. I'm sorry for correcting you.
All I can say is again.
Again. I do that quite often where I correct you. And then I'm like, oh no, David was right.
No. She does a very good job.
Oh, thank you.
She just happens to be wrong most of the time. We'll cut that.
That's fine.
In any event, his first published drawing in 1964 was in the New York Times. It was actually a diptych. That's really two drawings put together.
Right.
On the left-hand side was Alec Guinness in the play Dylan, about Dylan Thomas.
Dylan won a Tony for.
Yeah, he won a Tony for.
Right.
And it was a great performance. I mean, of course, everyone thinks of Alec Guinness today for, he was a great performer, but they think of him for one role today.
Well, when I think of, I'm going to try to guess. When I think of Alec Guinness, I think of Company.
I have no idea what you think
Wasn't
of Company.
Wasn't he in a Company drawing?
No.
Oh, man. He doesn't, I don't know then.
We're going to cut that too.
What's the role that...
When people think of Alec Guinness today, the role they think about is Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
Oh, I did not know that.
And that was the capper to an extraordinary career. If you haven't had a chance to see some of his movies, Captain's Paradise, The Lavender Hill Mob, these are Kind Hearts and Coronets, which was the basis for Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder on Broadway a few years back.
Interesting.
Really a terrific performer. Terrific performer.
So I was way off, and I apologize for that again.
So he won a Tony for it. The drawing's very good. And in the midst of time, that one is completely forgotten because on the right-hand side of the diptych was a drawing of Carol Channing as Dolly Levi in the musical version of The Matchmaker called Hello Dolly. It was the Sunday before both shows opened on Broadway. I mean, I can't even imagine a Broadway in which we're opening Hello Dolly and Alec Guinness and Dylan, you know, in the same week.
Right.
And it's not April. So it's a great theater season that year.
Yeah. I mean, Fiddler on the Roof comes out that year.
Yeah.
Funny Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, it's a really, for Broadway musicals, it's a great year. But the one that would be remembered, of course, is Hello Dolly.
And Fiddler.
All the shows would be remembered, but the one that gets awarded the most breaks a record or ties a record of getting 10 Tony awards that season.
Ties with South Pacific.
Right.
And that was held until the producers in 2001, 2002.
Right.
When they won 12. And that's the new record.
That is the new record.
So Hello Dolly.
Hello Dolly was a big hit. But the thing that probably most people, when they talk about it today, when they talk about that original production, almost always it's illustrated in the same way with this Hirschfeld drawing because he so captured her in the role. Carol Channing would later say that, when she saw herself in a Hirschfeld drawing, she would say, How did the great Hirschfeld know precisely what I was thinking? To be Hirschfelded is a eerie experience. You better not have anything to hide because he'll expose it like a neon sign. You know,
but in a loving way.
In a loving way. Yeah. And, you know, for Carol Channing, she was precisely the kind of performer that Hirschfeld loved to draw.
Right.
She was a larger-than-life character both on and off stage. And Hirschfeld had been drawing her. By 1964, he'd already been drawing her for 15 years.
Wow.
Had already done several drawings of her. Her story, though, she was born in Seattle. She's about
1921.
And she gets her, she goes to school at Bennington College. She gets her first New York stage work with Mark Blitzstein in No for an Answer, which was at City Center. Then it was still called the Mecca Temple. She was 19 years old.
Wow.
From that, she went on to understudy Eve Arden in the Broadway production of Let's Face It. And in one of those really interesting ironies, mm-hmm. Eve Arden would eventually understudy Carol Channing and would eventually play her in the Dolly Levi in the road company of Hello, Dolly.
Mm.
Even though there was a 13-year difference between the two performers.
Interesting.
So Hirschfeld didn't draw her in any of these. His very first drawing of her was when she was in a review called Lend an Ear.
Right.
Now, Hirschfeld's favorite form of theater was the review burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loved that kind of thing. The satirical review was all-time favorite.
Mm.
And Lend an Ear was exactly that.
Right. This is satire of the 20s or...
Yeah. One of the things it satirized was the 20s.
Gotcha.
And so he was doing these... He didn't do just cast drawings in the late 40s and early 50s. He was also doing theme drawings. So he might do a drawing of the mothers on Broadway and
right.
gather up the different mothers who were in different shows.
What's cooking on Broadway? It's like anybody who's cooking something on the stage.
Yeah, everything from Elaine Stritch and Bus Stop to the mother in Diary of Anne Frank.
Oh, gosh. And then there's also like a Troubled Fathers.
Troubled Fathers on Broadway.
I put that up for Father's Day.
Yes, there's Villains on Broadway.
Villains.
On May 15th, 1949, the New York Times published a drawing called Husbands and Wives on Broadway. And it included Alfred Drake and Patricia Morrison and Kiss Me, Kate. And it also included Carol Channing and the actor who played her husband in Lend an Ear. That one of the skits was about a husband and wife, you know, arguing and fighting, but still very funny. 6 weeks later, Hirschfeld does another theme drawing called Supporting Players Whose Numbers Stop Their Musical Shows. And this is the drawing that Carol Channing says is the making of her. The star-making drawing that Hirschfeld did of her.
Mm.
She credits her success in the theater based on this drawing. So what Hirschfeld did was he had these different people whose numbers stopped the show, Bally High from South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Channing did this numbers. It was a send-up of the 20s. She wore this cloche hat. She was the gladiola girl. And Hirschfeld included her in this drawing. She wasn't the focus of it.
Right.
But it was a great part of the drawing. When Carol Channing saw it, when she opened up the paper that Sunday morning, June 26, 1949, her first thought was, wow, there's my father. You know, Hirschfeld didn't know her at all, but he had done what a great portrait artist does and mm-hmm. brings sort of their whole life in a drawing. And so she was amazed by this. She wasn't the only one amazed by this. Julie Stein and Anita Loos were looking around to find someone to perform the lead role in the musical version of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Right.
And according to Carol Channing, they saw this drawing and they said, Anita Loos allegedly said, there's my Lorelei. They went to go see the show because of the Hirschfeld drawing.
Wow.
And Carol says many other people went to see the show because Al Hirschfeld kept on drawing it,
aww.
So it must be good.
Yeah.
And so it brought a lot of people in. Well, 6 months later, she is the lead in the Broadway production, the original Broadway production of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And it's a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a huge success. So Cal Channing says this Al Hirschfeld made my career.
Made her a star.
Made her a star. Hirschfeld himself did not think that way. In fact, he had a very funny thing to say many years later. He didn't remember doing the drawing, and it's certainly in that way. He wrote, "She remembers it with great clarity, and maybe that's enough. However, I think it also explains Carol's star power and success, her ability to create this fantasy version of her own legend. Carol was one of the few performers of that time who invented themselves, especially here in her most famous and most plumage-filled role of Dolly Levi. I merely copied her original design of herself." Now, for Hirschfeld, that is the greatest praise that you can he can give you, that you're self-invented.
Right.
That you created your character.
Image. Yeah.
You know, right. That and everybody
Carol,
knows.
And Carol Channing is a character.
Oh, without a doubt.
She's always Carol Channing.
Yes, with the wig and the eyelashes. You know, she never went out without that.
Right.
And you came. People came to expect Carol Channing when Carol Channing showed up. And she never failed to deliver. I mean, even in her 90s now, she is still Carol Channing.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But Hirschfeld understood that you shouldn't let reality get in the way of a good story. And if Carol Channing believed that this was the start of her career and it fit into this nice story that she had created for how her career started, who was he to argue?
Right,
you know,
right.
It may very well have happened like this. It wasn't his intention, and that wasn't so important. And we find that a lot of times with Hirschfeld's intention for most of his drawings was to create a great drawing. The fact that it looked like the people that it was supposed to look like was a happy byproduct.
Right.
So, you know, what his intentions were and what people got from it were always a little bit at odds, but they were something that everybody wanted.
Right.
So Carol believing that Hirschfeld made her a star was good enough for Al, and it certainly is good enough for Carol, so it's good
enough
for us.
And it's good enough for us. So we're going to continue the narrative. Let's talk about Hello, Dolly real quick. So take me back, David, to the beautiful Austrian countryside of 1842.
Yes, and what does that have to do with Hello, Dolly? People are still asking.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why we're in Austria in 1842 is because Thurman Wilder, the original, the American playwright, would adapt a play, this 1842 Austrian play, and turn it into an Americanized comedy called The Merchant of Yonkers, about a businessman who is in the market for a new wife.
Right.
Okay. In 1938, he brings it to Broadway. Jane Cal, who was a big star at the time, played Dolly Levi. But she was not the main character. The main character was Horace Van Gelder. It was performed by Percy Warham, who today people don't know, but he was a pretty bankable Broadway star at that time. He had played in Life with Father, although he wasn't the original father. He had been in a number of plays and would continue to be in a number of plays. The legendary director Max Reinhardt was directing this play. This was not the only play that Thornton Wilder had on Broadway this season, in the 1938-39 season.
Right. He also had Our Town.
Arguably his most famous play.
Definitely.
And as we speak here, whenever you're listening to this, maybe you listen to this next week or 3 months from now, you can be sure that somewhere tonight, someone is performing Our Town. It is one of those plays that is done virtually every day of the week, every year of the that you can think of.
Right. Very popular.
Very popular. One of the still most performed plays in high schools.
Right. I know.
But also in regional theaters and community theaters. It's a great play.
Right. So this came out. So The Merchant of Yonkers came out after Our Town, but the same season.
The same season.
And not a great success.
Not a great success.
It only ran 39 performances. But as happens with so many short-lived Broadway undertakings or whatever you want to call it, there's a great Hirschfeld drawing of it.
Really great Hirschfeld drawing. Jane Cow is literally electric in the drawing, and it's a great piece. So while it didn't get awards or an audience, it got a great drawing.
Yep.
That we still have here in the Foundation's collection, which is really wonderful. Right. So that play would have languished in obscurity. It would have been a trivia question of what was the other play Thornton Wilder premiered in 1938.
That's still a good trivia question.
There you go.
Actually, I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
We should do a Hirschfeld Jeopardy game.
It's been done on Jeopardy.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? Winter of 2013. It was the winter of the Lincoln Center show.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did it before that, too.
Oh, really?
They would, in Jeopardy, they would turn over the block.
Oh, and they would post a drawing.
And it would be a Hirschfeld drawing, and you'd have to say, what is Fiddler on the Roof? Or what is Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly?
That would be so much fun.
Yes. I'm into it. And Alex Trebek turns out as a fan.
I bet.
You know, and he turns out to be a very nice guy.
I know. You met him.
I met him on a TCM cruise, and I was surprised. He was a very genuine person.
No, that's
and
sweet.
Drawn by Hirschfeld. So.
Oh, yes.
We love that. We love the
well,
people.
Well, I'll get right on the trivia game, because that sounds fun.
The play is not a success, and as I said, it would have completely been forgotten, except Tyrone Guthrie, the great Tyrone Guthrie, director, is running the Edinburgh Festival in 1954, and he somehow gets a copy of Merchant of Yonkers and thinks there's a good play there. If Thornton Wilder would go back to it, they talk about revisions, and they talk about expanding the role of this matchmaker that Horace Van Gelder goes to see, Dolly Levi.
Right. Now she becomes kind of the main focus of the show.
And indeed, the show gets a new title called The Matchmaker,
right,
which is to emphasize the importance of the Dolly Levi character.
Right.
It's a big hit at the Edinburgh Festival. Producer David Merrick brings it to the West End, and where it's a big hit there. And in 1955, he does a Broadway production starring Ruth Gordon. It gets another great Hirschfeld drawing.
Yep.
And better yet, it gets a good run.
Yeah.
I'm sure David Merrick felt that way. It gets a really great long run. Ruth Gordon's performance earns her a Tony nomination for Best Actress. Mm. And Tyrone Guthrie actually wins for Best Director.
Wow.
And so, and then it was adapted into a film starring Shirley Booth. As Dolly, Anthony Perkins as Cornelius.
I love Tony Perkins.
How could you not? Although, in around this time, he makes Psycho, so he wasn't the lovable character.
Well, I know Tony Perkins from What's My Line, obviously. And he's on there a lot, and he's so cute and adorable. I don't know the Psycho Tony Perkins. I don't think about that one. Everything I think is backwards. Basically.
Yeah, right. So it was a successful...
Shirley MacLaine was in it.
Shirley MacLaine
in the
was
movie,
in.
Yeah.
Robert Morse reprised his role as Barnaby. Mm. Paul Ford was Horace Van Gelder. And it was a successful movie adaptation, had a good run on Broadway. I mean, what had been a flop had turned into a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Thornton Wilder should have been pleased with that. He probably was.
But the story doesn't stop there.
No.
But wait, there's more.
And you won't believe what happens next. David Merrick gets the idea of doing a musical version of this play. Mm. He sees that it's got the right components. He feels that Broadway audiences in 1964 would happily embrace a sort of good old-fashioned musical about the late 19th century, early 20th century. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of great costuming you could do in there. These were great roles for what he thought would be Ethel Merman.
Right. Yeah, it was rewritten for Ethel Merman.
Yes.
With her in mind.
He hires Jerry Herman, who had just had a big hit with Milk and Honey, a unlikely play about the founding of Israel.
But has a great drawing.
Has a great
again. It's
oh yeah. Well, and it was a big hit too.
Oh, was it a big hit?
It was a big hit.
Well, there you go.
And they create this show that, well, it didn't start off as Hello, Dolly.
Right. It had a few names. I wrote some of them down. Here we go. Dolly, a damned exasperating woman, which would not have done very well, I don't think. And Call on Dolly, which is better. It's close. Call on Dolly's getting there.
But as soon as Merrick heard Louis Armstrong's demo recording of the song Hello, Dolly, that Jerry Herman had just written, he realized that was the title for the show.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
And it's so, I mean, it's hard for us to think today that a Broadway show would have a hit single. A single big enough to knock the Beatles off the charts, or at least from number one.
Mm-hmm.
But Louis Armstrong's demo recording gets released. And when it's a sort of one take thing.
Just going to say it, David. That is such a Celine Dion move. That is such a Celine Dion move.
Please forgive us, any Louis Armstrong fans or just music fans in general.
There's a wonderful drawing of Celine Dion.
I take that as a tribute to Al Hirschfeld.
And Celine. All right, we're not going to talk about this today. Not again, David. Not again. Okay, so back to Louis Armstrong.
But I mean, a Broadway show that had a hit record, a hit number one record that pushes the Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love from the number one spot on the American charts.
I guess Hamilton has probably... It hasn't been like on the Billboard singles,
not.
At least.
Right,
but maybe
although
the
Dear
album.
Evan Hansen has released a song.
Oh, really? Like, when was the last time that really...
Well, I think Hair.
I know Hair, but that was a lot.
Age
that was
of Aquarius.
Just, I mean, that was just 4 years after, or
yeah,
5 years
that's,
after Hello Dolly.
But that's that's the eclipse of the Broadway musical as a real cultural arbiter that probably has only been restored now with Hamilton, where so many people know it.
That's true.
But
I know Hair definitely was a huge
Up through the 60s, Broadway show tunes were part of the top 10 on the record charts. And they slowly but surely disappear all throughout the 60s. And by the end of the 60s, there's nothing.
Mm.
And they don't chart anymore because it takes divergent paths.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting topic.
So they have this... So Hello, Dolly! Opens and wins 10 Tony Awards, becomes the longest-running Broadway musical at that time.
Right.
It has over 2,000 performances. Mm. And Carol Channing plays it, I think, is in for the first year or two. And then different dollies start coming in. It's so funny. It was originally written for Ethel Merman. She would eventually play it.
On Broadway.
After Merman turned them down, they approached Mary Martin, who turned it down. And she would eventually play it in the West End. There were lots of dollies. Ginger Rogers, Martha Ray, Betty Grable. Pearl Bailey did an all-black version with Cab Calloway and Clifton Davis and Ernestine Jackin and a young Morgan Freeman.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Phyllis Diller played...
Today's Phyllis Diller's birthday.
Well, she would play Dolly on Broadway.
Wow.
And as I said, Merman was, I think, one of the last dollies on Broadway from the original production. And in fact, Hirschfeld does a drawing of Merrick. He's sort of a ringmaster in a circus, and he's got the three dollies jumping through a hoop. And it's Carol, Pearl Bailey, and Ethel Merman.
Great.
And that's in 1970. But Hirschfeld, once Hello Dolly catapults Carol Channing into really sort of the top of the top celebrity, one of the top celebrities. In a few short years, she not only is one of the big attractions at the inauguration of Lyndon B. Johnson.
Wait, speaking of Lyndon Johnson, which is something I don't usually say because we don't talk about Johnson, but she like rewrote or someone rewrote Hello Dolly for, it's called Hello Lyndon.
Right.
And it's for the 1964 election. And she sings it. There's a great clip on YouTube. And I think we even wrote an article about it.
Yeah, you wrote an article for the Spotlight section on the Hirschfeld
website.
That's
right. It's like, well, hello, Lyndon. Something's hello, Lyndon. It's so funny and it's adorable.
Always wanted to hear Catherine sing.
Yeah, while I'm still getting over a cold and sound extra nasally. So that shows how popular it was just in the culture as well. Are you saying the next drawing she's in is the Johnson inaugural drawing?
Johnson inaugural drawing. Actually, the next drawing she's in is Carol Channing is Lady Macbeth from Casting series. This was a series he did every month for Playbill for about 18 months starting in 1964.
And you told me just now that he came up with this idea.
Yes.
Which I did not know.
He had done a series for a short-lived magazine called Show, called Famous Feuds, where he had all kinds of people sort of duking it out.
Yeah.
The Sir Francis Bacon and Christopher Marlowe are battling to who's the real Shakespeare.
There's like a De Gaulle one.
De Gaulle, yeah, sure. There's another great one of Ilya Kazan and Lee Strasberg.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of arguing on a psychiatrist's couch.
Gotcha.
And you can see Lincoln Center in the background because there was all this controversy at that time.
Mm.
These actually hark back to Miguel Covarrubias' Impossible Interviews that he and Corey Ford did for Vanity Fair in the 1920s.
Mm.
But for this unlikely casting series, I'm pretty sure Hirschfeld came up with the ideas for it. It put people in the title, totally captures mm-hmm. what the series was about.
Right.
It put unlikely performers in different roles.
Right.
So Zero Mostel is Peter Pan.
I know, that's my favorite one.
Jason Robards as Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Right.
Carol Burnett as Blanche DuBois from Streetcar.
That's a good one.
And so Carol Channing as Lady Macbeth is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think, and it would always be accompanied by a quote from the performer.
Mm.
And Carol Channing talks about something like, yes, and after this, I'm doing King Lear on roller skates.
Speaking of King Lear, I know that one of them's Burt Lahr as King Lear.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nancy Walker and Walter Matthau as Romeo and Juliet.
Right. Speaking of Johnson, it's like Goldwater and Johnson.
Oh, yeah, for Waiting for Godot.
Yeah, Waiting for Godot. And then I know we talked briefly about David Merrick, but there's a great David Merrick story. David Merrick was the one who
produced
Hello,
Dolly.
Yeah. And so he was not a very nice person.
No. He was known as the Abominable Showman.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. and he had a good eye.
Right. Talented.
But he was an impossible person and a right. mean person, and people didn't like him. And including Al Hirschfeld, who was not a man given to bile or anger. He had done political work in the 1920s and had realized that just wasn't his thing. He didn't feel strongly
comment on personalities or anything like that. Yeah,
he just wasn't he always sort of just saw the good side of things.
Mm-hmm.
He was just that way. As a human, that's how he was.
But couldn't really see the good side of David Merrick.
No, definitely could not see. And I'm sure that was fueled in part by stories that Carol Channing told him.
Oh, interesting.
I'm sure there are legion of stories of Merrick mistreating performers and making ridiculous demands. And he was a miserable person.
Yeah.
And so.
For unlikely casting.
He does a drawing of Merrick as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Except it's not.
It's not Santa Claus. It's really like as the Grinch as Santa Claus.
Right. He's stealing all the presents from the tree.
Right. I don't know when The Grinch Who Stole Christmas came out.
But
it must be around that time.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks exactly like the Grinch stealing all the presents under the tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Hirschfeld was having an exhibition of his work at this time, and he insisted that the gallery put this drawing of Merrick in the window because he wanted everyone to know what he thought of David Merrick. And much to his chagrin, that's Hirschfeld's chagrin, not Merrick's, indeed, the world does know what he thinks about David Merrick, and David Merrick knows. He comes in and he buys the drawing. Not to destroy it or hide it away, he puts it on his Christmas card that year and adds a flaming Christmas tree. And that's when Hirschfeld realized you can't insult anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
well, even when Hirschfeld is trying to be mean to someone, it's not really that mean.
No,
still love it.
Right, exactly. He understood that Merrick was the type of person who believed there was no such thing as bad publicity.
Right. Any publicity is good publicity.
And if he was known as a difficult person, that was going to make it easier in his next negotiation.
That's true.
So, I mean, he...
Good point.
After that, I can't... Off the top of my head, I can't even think of a drawing that you could see as being negative or pejorative. He just doesn't do it because I think it's a real... It's a reminder to him that that's not who he is.
Right.
Merrick did have this great success with Hello, Dolly, and Hirschfeld's drawing then comes to literally represent the show.
Right, of Hello, Dolly.
Soon the window cards and the show posters for the show feature Hirschfeld's drawings. Mm-hmm. When it goes out on the road with Carol, the drawing is used in the advertisements because he had so captured her. And I talk about in the beginning of the Hirschfeld century, Hirschfeld's drawing of Carol Channing and Hello Dolly is very much like Toulouse-Lautrec's drawing of Jane Avril from Paris in the 1890s.
Right.
I'm sure audiences at that time looked at the drawing of Avril and said, wow, Lautrec really captured her. That's what it's like in performance. I remember seeing her. I know how great she is. He really got her. It also made for an attractive poster, so it brought more people in. But that's not what Lautrec was doing. Hmm. Lautrec was creating art. And we now recognize it as art because nobody alive has seen Jane Avril. We can't see how accurate.
Well, it's hard to, and you talk about it a lot too, it's hard to remove yourself from the performance if you've seen it or you've lived it. And it's hard to remove yourself from it and then just see it as art.
Right. So we don't have any problem with Toulouse-Lautrec's work because we don't know those performers. But when we look at Hirschfeld drawings, like Carol Channing and Hello Dolly, it's hard to separate our memories, if you have any memory.
Right.
Maybe it's a recording. Maybe it's something you saw on YouTube. Maybe you were one of the lucky people who saw her perform it ad nauseum. She performed it for 30 years.
Wow.
On Broadway, she appeared 3 times on Broadway in the role.
Wow.
She performed it on the road thousands of times. And I remember the last revival in New York was 1995. And the day after the opening, I was having lunch at the Hirschfelds.
Mm.
So, of course, you ask, how was it? And I never forget. Al just smiled, and he said, oh, as soon as Carol steps on stage, you knew you were in safe hands.
Aww.
And it's actually, I went up and looked up the reviews of the original production. And what's interesting is we think of it as a great score and a great show. Mm-hmm. But a lot of reviewers at the time say, well, it's an okay score. It's got some good numbers. And the show is a little creaky.
Mm.
But Carol Channing is the reason you have to see it. Mm. You know, when you see it, it's going to be a good night.
Right.
And that Al was inadvertently echoing that all these years later was, I think, very telling.
Oh,
and he knew what a good show was. And he knew it was that kind of performer that could carry a show no matter what anybody else was like. Very similar now, and this is nothing against Bette Midler's cast, but people are coming to see Bette Midler in it, and it all rises and falls on Bette Midler's performance.
Right.
David Hyde Pierce.
I think that's of the show, definitely.
Oh,
if you
very
have
much
a
so.
Good dolly, that's all you need.
Right.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, he would never draw anybody else in the role.
Wow.
And Hello Dolly. The only Hello Dolly drawings he ever drew were of Carol Channing in the role.
Mm. And of course, that one little composite with Pearl Bailey and Ethel Merman.
Oh, right. Of
but
course.
Not no, as no. like a whole production right. or anything like that.
Thank you very much.
I didn't want people to think we were backtracking on ourselves.
And what's funny is he would do lots of drawings of Carol Channing over the years in a variety of different roles. She did a musical a sort of different musical version of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes called Lorelei, did a great drawing of that. There were commissions for benefits with Carol and Angela Lansbury or Rita Moreno or people like that. His last drawing for the Times of Carol Channing, and one of his last drawings, literally his last drawing of Carol Channing, was a theme drawing. You know, sort of just, it goes full circle.
Yeah.
It's in September 1995, and the drawing is titled 6 Leading Ladies Who Will Appear on Broadway This Season.
Mm.
And it had Zoe Caldwell in Masterclass and, I forget all who else is in there, but Carol Channing and Hello Dolly.
Right.
And then he would do one more piece for the Times a month later. He would do a piece, he would take all of his different drawings of Carol and Hello Dolly and collage them into sort of a timeline of Carol Hello Dolly. And because it's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it was really an homage to Carol. He and Carol would end up being great friends. It was, you know, she was in a way the second Dolly in his life.
Aww,
because he was married to Dolly Haas.
Right.
But they were great friends and they enjoyed each other's company a great deal. And, you know, I mean, it's funny. Carol Channing, a couple times talking about Hirschfeld over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, she loved the drawings. She collected, if not all, but most of her drawings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was drawn 39 times.
That's a lot.
So
you... I know. Well, to put this into perspective, Julie Andrews was drawn 51 times.
Yes.
And she's the most drawn female.
Right.
And most people fall within the 2 to 10 category. Would you say that? And so 39, that's a lot of drawings of Carol Channing.
Yeah, a lot of drawings. And most of them are individual drawings. They're not really a big
There's
cast.
There's no cast drawing of Hello, Dolly.
No, there never was. No. Because at the end of the day, like you said, it's it's the Dolly role. Mm-hmm. Who's in the Dolly role? But, you know, she said recently somebody was going through her house. They were doing a house and gardens thing. And she said that Al Hirschfeld's art is the key to the decor. Everywhere you turn, his influence is there. Because she had Hirschfeld drawings. She has Hirschfeld drawings mm-hmm. all over her house.
Well, she says, the three things she can count on not losing value?
Oh, yeah. 1976, the Wall Street Journal does a front page feature on Hirschfeld. Not only him, but the value of his works. Mm. And she says, there are three things I can count on to keep their value. Diamonds, wine, and Hirschfeld caricatures.
That's true.
And it is true. It is true. That drawing of Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly, she probably purchased for $500.
Wow.
If indeed he actually sold it to her. He mm-hmm. may have given it to her because they were great friends already by 1964.
Wow.
That drawing, if it was on the market today, would probably go for at least $50,000,
oh,
if not more.
Oh, I would say way more.
Because that is literally, it's like...
It's the Hirsch, in my mind at least, and I have no connection to Hello, Dolly or Carol Channing, but to me, it's the Hirschfeld drawing.
Right, it's sort of like the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, I just don't know what other, or the Jane Avril, whatever. There's just no other one, in my mind, that is the Hirschfeld drawing.
We could have a half-hour program.
Well, that's
just
true.
On that.
Arguing on that, but in my mind, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, and so it was a great mixture of artist and performer. What we get out of it is something that is for the ages, that will last much longer than the show itself. Certainly, the performer or the mm-hmm. artist, but both of them recognized that he had so captured her, and now we see it as a work of art.
Right.
It's art that's still attracting eyeballs mm-hmm. and a little bit of controversy.
Yeah. Well, I did a bad thing. No, I did not do a bad thing. People think I did a bad thing.
Right.
What happened was when, this must have been a year ago, or whenever Bette Midler was first announced as the next Hello, Dolly, I took the original production drawing, the 1964 infamous, you know, Carol Channing drawing, and I took, Bette Midler was in... Is it For the Boys in 1995?
Something for the Boys.
Yeah, Something for the Boys mm-hmm. In 1995. And I took the face and I put it on the body of Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly. And before I did it, I was like, oh, you know what? I probably shouldn't do this. David will get mad. You know, he might get offended. It might look bad. And I was like, and you know what? Carol Channing in the original, she's looking right at the viewer. And Bette Midler's kind of to the side. It's just not going to look right. It's going to be very obvious that I did that, you know, it was a collage of the two drawings.
But it turns out she was wrong.
I did it. And I must say, it looks, you would not know that it was two different drawings. I was shocked.
I was too. I would, we don't encourage this.
No.
But this is one of the few times I would say, I don't think Al would mind this. I think he would, it looks very much like Al Hirschfeld drawing mm-hmm. Bette Midler in a classic Hello, Dolly.
It works. It totally works.
And we shared it on Facebook when she won the Tonys.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
I got a lot of haters.
Yeah.
A lot of haters.
People thought it was sacrilegious.
And saying, you know, we can't believe the official foundation is doing that. And, well, we did because we are the official foundation.
And we didn't believe that anybody would think that Hirschfeld himself drew it, since he had been dead for over 14 years at that time.
Right.
He was able to do lots of things, but draw from the grave we have yet to see.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
But overwhelmingly, I mean, everyone in the foundation loves it.
Oh, yeah.
And overwhelmingly, everyone else loves it, too. So yeah. We did get a little controversy on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. But
if we thought it was a great tribute to Bette Midler and to the new production to give them a Hirschfeld drawing, which is something new shows don't get these days.
No. I mean, we're now in the first generation of shows that do not have a Hirschfeld drawing announcing their arrival for the first time since, you know, 1926. Mm. If you want to see the Bette Midler drawing, you can go to our Facebook page for the Al Hirschfeld Foundation, or you could go to the Algonquin Hotel, where this till August 8th is an installation in the lobby of the Algonquin called The Tonys as Seen by Hirschfeld. It features 25 drawings of Tony winning plays and musicals all over the lobby, so circling the top of the lobby. Mm-hmm. And then when we finished, they said, oh, could you put something on the elevator doors? And we thought about it, and we thought, well, you know, you can't put a cast drawing on an elevator door.
Yeah, it's just too much.
We need a distinct personality. So he had done a drawing of Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard in the original production 20 years ago. So we took the detail of Glenn Close from that drawing, and one set of elevator doors has that. So when it opens up, she splits in two.
Yeah.
On the other elevator door, we decided to put this Bette Midler as in Hello, Dolly, because here were two great actresses on Broadway, two Tony winners, and people love it.
Yeah, I mean, so the Algonquin installations are always so popular.
Yeah, this is our third year of doing them, and people really, really love them. If you get a chance to see it, you can go in there. It doesn't cost anything. If you've never been to the Algonquin, you should rectify that right away. And if you have been to the Algonquin, this is worth stopping in there for. Yeah, have a drink. You know, hanging out in the Algonquin lobby is one of the pleasures of life. Try to identify what's on the walls. And if you can't identify it, there's a handout that gives you the information on every drawing, identifies every drawing that's up there. So that's one place to see Hirschfeld drawings.
Speaking of identifying every drawing, you can go to our website, alhirschfeldfoundation.org, look up everything he ever did. What's your spiel, David?
Oh, actor, performer, production, publication.
Year, theater season.
Even
blah,
type.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, film, theater. And then, did we say Facebook? The Al Hirschfeld Foundation. And Twitter and Instagram at Al Hirschfeld. We post something every day. If you have any suggestions for topics you want to hear, we'd love to hear them, because we just pick them up based on what we think is interesting, but we want to know what you think is interesting.
So we always like hearing from people. Yeah. So you can write to us at info@alhirschfeldfoundation.org.
Yep. Or reach out on any social media.
Right.
We're always right there.
Right. We heard from folks in Australia the other day. Thank you very much.
And thank you to our two reviewers, William Marshall, my brother, and the amazing Squiggs.
Oh, yeah.
Who both gave us very, very glowing reviews on iTunes. If you want to give us a review, we won't argue with you. Go over and do that.
And those two reviews did not cost us that much.
No, they didn't. I didn't say anything to either one of them.
No, neither did I. No, we're pleased. The response has been great. If you can't wait for next week's podcast and you want to read more stories about Hirschfeld, there is the book that I wrote called The Hirschfeld Century, A Portrait of an Artist and His Age, that was published by Knopf in 2015. It's been widely acclaimed, and Amazon picked it as one of the top 100 books of 2015. So we were pleased with that.
And you can get that on our website, alhirschfeldfoundationshop.org.
Yeah, along with prints and t-shirts.
We've got a few t-shirts left.
Even a few drawings.
Mm-hmm, yep.
You know, we feature some of those. So there's lots of ways you can see Hirschfeld's work. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us.
See you next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Take care.